This is Norman. He's just like every other dog, except for one thing.
Can't really hit a dog that moves.
This is Sherman. He's a dog.
Sylvia?
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen Carlos yet. Well, he's not coming.
He's not coming to his own sister's quinceañera?
Don't talk to me about that boy.
Proud Latino, outwardly a tough cholo, Carlos is also very comfortable with his sexuality.
There's interesting gay issues in the movie that I don't think you've seen in films very much before.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The UN rebukes America's queer rights record, culture war combatants compete for best in show, and sex and gentrification collide in quinceañera. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 5th, 2006. The United Nations has criticized the United States for failing to protect gays and lesbians from discrimination and abuse. In a report released this week, the UN Human Rights Committee says the U.S. should ensure that federal and state laws address sexual orientation-related violence in its hate crime legislation and outlaw discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation in its federal and state employment legislation. A U.S. delegation appeared last month in Geneva to defend the country's record on lesbi, gay, and other human rights issues. During that appearance, Justice Department spokesperson Won Kim assured the U.N. committee that the U.S. maintains a profound and lasting commitment to equality. A statement by the U.S. delegation noted that some of the protections the U.N. report seeks, such as the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, have been proposed, but that measure has been a low-to-no priority issue in the Republican-controlled Congress. "We are an open society, accustomed to robust public policy debate," the statement also claimed, adding that U.S. officials will be happy to examine the committee's views closely and draw any appropriate conclusions from them.
A number of vicious attacks in recent weeks underscore the need to combat anti-queer violence, not only in the U.S., but everywhere else. The decomposing remains of lesbian couple Candace Williams and Phoebe Myrie were found June 29th in a sealed septic pit behind the home they shared in Jamaica. An autopsy revealed that they died from multiple stab wounds. A police inspector told the Jamaica Star that a lead suspect had been identified, Williams' former partner Dwayne Lewis. A relative told police that Lewis had encouraged Williams to experiment sexually with women, but his attitude changed when she slowly progressed from a bisexual to an outright lesbian, which led her to end the relationship with Lewis, according to the relative's statement. Human Rights Watch Director Scott Long wrote Jamaican Minister of National Security Peter David Phillips this week, asking why, nearly a month after the bodies were discovered, Lewis has not been arrested or even questioned. "As you know," Long wrote, "Human Rights Watch has documented an atmosphere of homophobic intolerance and violence in Jamaica, and a pattern of indifference or reluctance to investigate such violence on the part of the police. Local advocates have expressed concerns about the level of commitment to identifying and prosecuting the murderer," he wrote.
Agence France-Presse reported this week that several teenagers have been arrested for a series of attacks on gay men in Tokyo. According to a police spokesperson, the teenagers, three in high school and one unemployed, believed that gay men are wealthy and unlikely to report such crimes to authorities. The boys allegedly injured a 34-year-old gay man in early July in Yumenoshima, a reclaimed waterfront area known as a gay hangout, robbing him of the equivalent of $180. The suspects also punched and kicked a 56-year-old gay man on the same day near the site, the spokesperson said, adding that police were investigating similar crimes in the area.
In Chile, a band of young neo-Nazis attacked a 27-year-old gay man and three friends in the affluent Santiago neighborhood of Las Condes on July 31st. According to a report in the Santiago Times, the assault is the latest in a string of neo-Nazi acts that have plagued the nation's capital in recent months, but until now were confined to more working-class parts of the city. The victim and his friends were walking down the street when they were approached by a group of skinheads in military garb who verbally taunted the man before physically assaulting him. He was taken to a nearby hospital with multiple bruises and cuts on his face, and officials there reported the crime to authorities. The victim was reluctant to do that because his family is unaware of his sexual orientation. In recent months, violence involving neo-Nazi youth gangs has escalated, concentrated in the southern Santiago borough of Puente Alto. The nation's media has reported that as many as 40 neo-Nazi groups operate out of that poor neighborhood. Antonio Leal, president of Chile's Chamber of Deputies, wants neo-Nazis banned in his country, adding that he would ask the government to put a hate crime law at the top of its agenda.
Police in New Mexico are handling the brutal beating of an 18-year-old gay man and his female friend under the U.S. state's new hate crimes law. People at a house party in Edgewood harassed the man because he's gay, police said, but when he tried to leave with his friend, the two were attacked. New Mexico State Police Lieutenant Rick Anglada told reporters that the young man was forced into a camper trailer at the residence, locked inside, and repeatedly beaten until the sun rose the next day. Prosecutor Donna Donyal said he suffered bleeding on the brain and a concussion, as well as facial lacerations and bruising, but has since been released from a hospital. Lieutenant Anglada said they've arrested two young men and are seeking a third in the case. He said the attackers told their victim that they were going to scare him straight.
Three suspected gang members face hate crime charges in the beating of patrons of a Riverside, California gay bar, the city's Press Enterprise newspaper reported this week. They've each been charged with three counts of assault and committing a hate crime. According to the report, the suspects walked up to the Menagerie Bar in downtown Riverside in the early morning hours of August 1st and began making anti-gay comments about people standing outside. After the people went back inside the bar, the men shattered a window with bricks and a rock. At that point, some bar customers went outside to confront them. Then, witness accounts vary, either the patrons tried to detain the men until police arrived, or patrons yelled back at them and the men attacked. Three Menagerie customers were injured in the melee. Jeffrey Owens, a 40-year-old gay man, died in June 2002 after being stabbed and beaten outside the same bar.
Six gay men were beaten with baseball bats and one was stabbed as they left the San Diego LGBT Pride Festival during the evening hours of July 29th. Police have arrested all three alleged young assailants, ranging in age from 18 to 24. They'll be charged with two counts each of attempted murder with a hate crime enhancement and two counts of assault with a deadly weapon. A fourth 16-year-old suspect was also taken into custody for being an accessory to the assaults and allegedly aiding the three attackers. Fred Sanz, openly gay press secretary to San Diego's Republican mayor Jerry Sanders, told reporters that one of the victims had his skull bashed in and he's going to have reconstructive surgery. The other five were treated at hospitals and released. At a July 31st press conference, Mayor Sanders himself said, "The attackers taunted the victims with anti-gay insults as they were beating them. This is the very definition of a hate crime." Sanders said police detectives worked on the case for 40 hours nonstop to find the alleged assailants.
More than 200 people, including the governor and attorney general of Maine, rallied on July 22nd in the city of Portland to support a lesbian couple whose home was rendered uninhabitable from vicious acts of vandalism. The suspects broke into the mobile home of Linda Botaw and Carrie Fuchs on the night of July 1st, destroying furniture and appliances, breaking windows, and spraying pesticides in several rooms. Valuables, including a box that contained Fuchs' father's ashes, were stolen. Their car was severely damaged, and feces and urine were left in the car and the home. Anti-gay slurs were scrawled on the walls. The state attorney general's office has filed hate crime charges that also include burglary, theft, aggravated criminal mischief, and two counts of motor vehicle burglary against the suspects, two boys, aged 12 and 14.
But finally, a long simmering struggle over an LGBT pride proclamation by young queer activists in the city of Los Altos, California, has ended amicably. The city council approved a surprise motion last week to rescind a ban on proclamations regarding sexual orientation. City officials established the ban in February after the Gay-Straight Alliance of Los Altos High School asked the council, for the third year in a row, to approve a proclamation declaring a citywide Gay Pride Day. Three of the five council members, including Mayor Ron Packard, supported the ban. The move brought unexpected and unwelcomed media attention to the Northern California Bay Area community of 28,000. During a news conference before last week's council meeting, dozens of business owners and residents called on city lawmakers to rescind the rule. "It's an embarrassment for many of us living and working in Los Altos," Peter Yesney told reporters, saying he spoke for 56 other business owners in the city who'd sign a petition supporting the ban's repeal. Mayor Packard then surprised critics by introducing a measure asking the council to consider lifting the ban. In an email to Gay Straight Alliance advisor Ruth Gibbs and shared with the San Jose Mercury News, Packard wrote that he was especially impressed by a presentation that students from the Gay Straight Alliance made during a July 11th meeting. The council passed a motion giving the mayor the sole power to issue whatever city proclamations he or she deems appropriate. The Gay Straight Alliance of Los Altos High School plans to ask for a Pride Day proclamation again next year. That's News Wrap for the week ending August 5th, 2006, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
A queer cinematic family wins both audience and critic raves at Sundance. We've got your invitation to Quinceañera later in the program.
A new survey about the so-called culture wars in the U.S. suggests that, with the exception of the combatants on opposing sides of each issue, there may not be much of a war at all. The results of the Pew Research Center's poll of 2003 American adults, conducted by phone in mid-July and released this week, concluded that, despite the high visibility of activist groups on both sides of the cultural divide, there has been no polarization of the public into liberal and conservative camps.
On five high-profile social issues, abortion rights, stem cell research, same-gender marriage, adoption of children by gay and lesbian couples, and the so-called morning-after pill to end a possible pregnancy, just 12% took the conservative position on all five issues, while only 22% consistently held the opposing view. The survey's margin of error was 2.5%. On specific lesbi-gay issues, 56% opposed giving same-gender partners the right to marry, but 53% supported a legal status that would provide many of the same rights as married couples. There's been a steady rise in U.S. public opinion in recent years, favoring some form of legal recognition for lesbian and gay couples.
There's also been an increase in the number of Americans who believe sexual orientation is innate, 36%, up from 30% in 2003. Nearly half, 49%, believe gays and lesbians cannot be converted to heterosexuality, compared with 42% who thought they could be in 2003.
In June, the Denver, Colorado-based Gill Foundation launched an online campaign at www.borndifferent.com and a series of 30-second TV spots featuring a cute animated puppy who communicates somewhat differently.
This is Norman. He's just like every other dog, except for one thing. Norman never chose to be different. He was just born this way. Norman isn't the only one in the Springs born different. This is Dan. He's just like everyone else around town, except for one thing. He was born gay.
I don't know why.
Some scientists say,
some people are born gay.
It turns out it's not just humans that are born gay. Animals are too. Is it likely that these animals chose to be gay? A percentage of the population is born gay, too. You can't change the way you're born. If you disagree, ask yourself this one simple question. When did you choose to be straight?
Not everyone agrees with that point of view, of course, especially Focus on the Family, the Colorado Springs-based right-wing Christian empire. They insist that gays and lesbians need therapy to change their sexual orientation to become normal. In late July, the group launched a competing media campaign at no-moo-lies.com with a dog of its own.
This is Sherman. He's a dog. He barks. Why? because that's what dogs do.
Focus hasn't revealed how much it's spending on its campaign, but Gill says it's allocated $900,000 for internet and TV ads. They've also mounted pictures of their mooing puppy on Colorado Springs city buses and on banners hanging on city light poles downtown.
The Rocky Mountain High city of Colorado Springs, a 2 hours drive from Denver, has a population of around 370,000. It was described in an article last year in Harper's Magazine as home to the greatest concentration of fundamentalist Christian activist groups in American history. Some city officials have questioned the use of city light poles for the Norman campaign and expressed concerns that such messages politicize city property and imply endorsement for the message.
In November, Coloradans may be asked to vote on up to three different state initiatives addressing same-gender marriage, civil unions, and domestic partnerships. Focus on the Family charges that the Gill Foundation's campaign is blatant electioneering. Gill says their mooing puppy is just an effort to get people talking about issues of sexual orientation, and they've apparently succeeded. Local reporter Eric Whitney hit the streets to gather a random sample of opinion in downtown Colorado Springs about the banners and the dueling doggy campaigns.
I think that it's been really thought-provoking. I think it's definitely served its purpose and that a lot of people are discussing it.
I don't really have an opinion about the issue. The banners are definitely in your face.
I think it's pretty cool. It's pretty different.
I have to agree, and I think there's nothing wrong with being different whatsoever. It's a good thing.
So you have an opinion about the dogs that say moo?
Yeah, I think that the homosexual movement was brilliant in their marketing.
Why do you say that?
Because they, you know, compare themselves to something adorable and endearing, and everybody likes a dog, and it says moo, and it's cute, so it makes everybody love it, and you can't really hate a dog that moos, right?
I just think there's some ignorant people up there.
Ignorant people.
That focus on the family. If they can't recognize that people are born that way, that nobody would absolutely choose to live that way. I can't believe that they're that ignorant to be that way and deliberately single out people to be oppressive towards.
You work downtown? Or?
I do, yeah.
You hear people talking about it a lot? Or?
We've had some bad stuff about it, yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't like that it's, you know, right in their face, you know, that it's everywhere now.
Are people talking about it, do you think? Or?
Not that I've heard.
No, I don't think anybody really knows what it's about. I think they need to have more information on it.
So I spent 28 years of my life for defending the freedoms of the people around here in my military service. And if they want to do that, they have a right to do so. There shouldn't be one group trying to oppress another group from stop another group from doing that. They don't have that right.
Last we heard, Norman's banners were still flying. With thanks to Eric Whitney at KRCC-FM in Colorado Springs, Colorado, I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
For This Way Out.
Hola, amigos. This is Luis Alfaro, performance artist, playwright.
This is Monica Palacios, Aztec God, Fajita Combo. You're listening to This Way Out,
the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
A quinceañera honors a girl on her 15th birthday, but the new film by that name has already been honored with both the Audience Award and the Dramatic Grand Prize at this year's Sundance Film Festival. It's the love child of two out gay filmmakers who made it in their own multi-ethnic community using several neighbors in the cast. Quinceañera is getting rave reviews not only for its depiction of traditional Latino families, but for putting a non-traditional family and gay character on the screen. This Way Out's Steve Pride learned more about the film from the movie makers next door.
The film, Quinceañera, is a look at what happens when teenage sexuality, age-old rituals, and real estate prices collide. As Magdalena's 15th birthday approaches, and she prepares for her quinceañera, her life takes an unexpected turn with the discovery that although she's technically a virgin, she's pregnant. kicked out of her house, she finds a new family with her great-granduncle Tomas and her cousin Carlos, a tough gay cholo who was thrown out by his parents. The back-house rental where Tomas has lived happily for many, many years is on a property that was recently purchased by an affluent white gay couple, pioneers of a gentrification, changing the traditionally poor and Latino makeup of their Echo Park neighborhood in Los Angeles.
Hello, I'm Wash Westmoreland.
And I am Richard Glatzer. We are the writer-directors of Quinceañera. We moved to Echo Park in 2001 and felt much more at home there than we had in the Melrose area where we were living previously. And got to know our neighbors very quickly and were asked to be the official photographers at our next-door neighbor's Quinceañera, which was our first real experience of that event. And just over time, we'd seen the neighborhood changing. We'd seen it gentrifying. And one day, it was January 1st, 2005, it just occurred to us sitting around hungover talking about ideas for movies we had, what an interesting kind of soup our block is. And just, you know, multi-ethnic, multicultural, different races, different sexuality, different generations, that it was such kind of ripe material, people right next door to each other and yet not knowing about each other's worlds.
Sylvia?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen Carlos yet. Well, he's not coming. He's not coming to his own sister's quinceañera?
Aunt Sylvia, Uncle Walter wants you.
Don't talk to me about that boy.
Carlos, played by newcomer Jesse Garcia, is a gay character we've not seen in film before. A proud Latino, muscular and tattooed, outwardly a tough cholo, Carlos is also very comfortable with his sexuality. When he has a three-way with his white gay landlords, it blurs the lines of who's seducing who.
There's interesting gay issues in the movie that I don't think you've seen in films very much before. There's a couple of white gay guys in the movie. You know, the film is kind of critical of them. And I think it'd be kind of interesting for a gay audience to think about those issues, both in terms of the real estate and both in terms of, like, their attitude towards Carlos in the three-way. And I'd really like to provoke a discussion about those issues. But then overwhelmingly, I think there's the story of Carlos, I think, resonates for a lot of gay people that, you know, he is ostracized from his family because of his sexuality, but he does find acceptance in a kind of queer family with a great-granduncle who had never married but was this just kind of like mentor, this like parent that wasn't judgmental, and the effect that can have on, you know, on a gay person or any person like Magdalena who's experiencing a difference or like an ostracism, that, you know, to create that family and then to, for the main extended family to accept that family, I think that's just an extremely positive thing.
But issues of class, race, and power arise when Carlos has a separate affair with one of the two landlords.
Like this?
No, it's like this. This one's an E. This one's a P. Echo Parque.
Echo Parque.
Be careful you don't flash everyone on Temple Street, though.
They're the rival gang, right?
They'd kill you.
Wow. You really live in a whole nother world, don't you?
Nah. You do.
I think it's a movie about acceptance, accepting things for the way they are, people for the way they are.
Actor Jesse Garcia.
He knew he was gay, but he allowed himself to be in that situation. If you don't want to be in that situation, you're not going to be in that situation. His dad found out that he was gay by internet sites that he was visiting. In media and in movies, that's not how you find out. You either get caught with a dude or whatever, and his dad tracked the site that he went to. I mean, he knew he was gay, and he was, if you watch in the earlier scenes where they first meet, you know, you can kind of tell that Carlos is interested in just by looks, you know when someone's interested and when someone's not. Most people do. I'm pretty oblivious, but
how we think of Carlos isn't so much an archetype, but a new type. We think of him as a kid who has really got to know about sex and about sexual identity through the internet, which is something kids have only been really able to do, or people have only been able really to do since that technology's been around. But a lot of people do Google to find out the facts of life and the facts about themselves. So he's really formed a sexual identity that's quite solid about himself as a young gay man without ever coming into contact with physical gay people. So what you're seeing when in the movie, when he is like, you know, a young Latino guy comes into contact with a very white yuppie gay scene, is like a kind of culture clash within the gay community. He already knows he's gay. And in a way, in his relationships with James and Gary, he's a willing participant. He's playing the seduction game too. Ultimately, what happens with that story, though, brings up a lot of issues about a kind of codified racism in the white gay community. To see Carlos just as a plaything, as a kind of exotic sort of participant in the freeway, rather than giving him equal rights as a person, rather than like inviting him to the dinner party, they would just use him for sex. So it's really kind of looking at this attitude of like, well, what's behind that? And it's also asking sort of, you know, white gay community to question, what's it like from Carlos's point of view? What's it like for him?
One of the biggest surprises to many people is the background of the filmmakers behind Quinceañera. Richard Glatzer, who rode the queer new wave of the early 1990s with Grief, has been more recently involved in reality shows like America's Next Top Model. His partner, Wash Westmoreland, got his start directing gay porn titles that I can't say on the radio. Fans of Quinceañera at the video store looking for the last film they did together would be handed a copy of The Fluffer, about a gay kid with an unusual but necessary job in the gay porn industry.
Yeah, it's funny because it does feel like the movie has more mainstream appeal. Quinceañera definitely, and the reception's been amazing. We're so grateful. The Fluffer did divide people. But I feel both films have controversial elements in them. I mean, here we're dealing with teenage sexuality and with homophobia in the Latino community and a kind of coded racism in the gay community. So, you know, it's not like we've made a sugar-coated film or anything like that, but I'm so happy it's being received the way it is. It's a film about very different communities coming in contact with each other, and it's a film that's promoting tolerance. That's the way we see it.
This has been a conversation with Richard Glatzer, Wash Westmoreland, and Jesse Garcia. Quinceañera won both the Audience Award and the Dramatic Grand Jury Prize at this year's Sundance Film Festival. It's being released in the U.S. and the U.K. by Sony Pictures Classics. For more information, visit QuinceañeraTheMovie.com or PrideOnScreen.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Yo no sé por qué me siento hoy tan diferente. Porque no quiero nada con la gente. ¿Qué será? Yo no sé. Porque mi cuerpo cambia día con día. Y siento que yo ya no soy la misma. ¿Qué será?
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Tanya Kane Perry, Sherry Lunn, Rex Walkner, Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Thanks also to Eric Whitney and KRCC-FM in Colorado Springs, and to Christopher David Trentum. You heard music from the Quinceañera soundtrack, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively at outinamerica.com. Click on the features link on their front page or use the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air and choose from some special LGBT movie, music, and history CD thank you gifts. To sign up for our weekly emailed program information messages and or our occasional This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 3BBB Ballarat, Victoria, KUNM Albuquerque, New Mexico, WCBN Ann Arbor, Michigan, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.